Good evening, everyone. Time to get started with our revival service tonight. Good to see our many visitors. We've had good visitors every night, a good number of them. Good to have everybody here, of course, tonight. Ms. Autumn is going to man the nursery tonight. If anyone has a child that needs to be placed in the nursery, well, Ms. Autumn over here will be the one. So number 94, let's start right there. It's been worth it all. Number 94.
Sing out a song for
remembrance. 94.
You could say that with the revival.
Amen.
It's been worth it all.
It
reminded me a lot while our pickers were coming. Y'all come on up this way. But it reminded me a lot of the old revivals. Just nobody wanted to leave. Nobody wanted to go home. And I'm sure that everybody that was here last night and has been here for the salvation of Rowan felt the very same way. Just can't wait to get back at night. So thank God for his goodness and his mercies and for the souls that's been saved.
Amen.
And tonight we've got our Do-Re-Mi Bluegrass Band. We wanted to add a little bit of something to it to help our pastor to feel at home. And he even requested that we have some bluegrass during here. And so I hope you enjoy them. This is the Do-Re-Mi Bluegrass Band.
One of you two, get over here.
in the glory land. Dove's over in the glory land.
Amen. All right. Thank you. That was just over in the glory land, if you didn't recognize that one. All right. Well, what's the name of our group here? Are we the Scrap Iron Boys or the Wild Onion Quartet or
Old Men?
The Old Men, speak for yourself. But we love singing songs of praise in the bluegrass style, and there's some that don't really like it, but we do. We love it, and we're glad that you like it too. So we're going to do one now that's not in any of the hymns, but if you know it, sing along. This is one called Will the Circle Be Unbroken? We'll get Jeff to kick it off here.
I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw that hearse come rolling to carry my mother away. Will the circle
of that song, last one they sang, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? It's so timely for us to have that question tonight in the midst of our revival services.
Amen.
It's indeed a joy for me to welcome all of you to the service tonight. And if as Brother Key's already said, if you weren't here last night, you missed a second blessing. We really had a good time in the Lord last night, and we're expecting more of the same tonight. I've come expecting someone to be saved.
Amen.
And I'm expecting someone to join the church. And I'm expecting God to have His way in our service. And we want to welcome Him and invite Him and urge Him to do that. We have some folks here for their first time ever, and we're so glad you came.
Amen.
And I pray that we'll do something that might cause you to want to come back. You know, when we get here, there's more in what we're feeling than what we're seeing. And if it's not that way, if our service is just confined to what we see and what we hear doesn't make any difference, there's something wrong somewhere. Either on this end or that end out there, one. But we want to please the Lord tonight. There have been lots of requests made for unsaved people this week, for people that are sick and suffering, for those who have given up loved ones in recent days. Brother Steve Hillman will be having hip replacement surgery at VA in Nashville in the morning, and we want to be prayerful for him. I don't know how many folks would have been to church the night before, but Steve, we're glad you're here.
Amen.
And I think God keeps a record. He knows what's going on.
Number 240, when we all get to heaven. One of the first things I thought of to tell Rowan, which he's one of our little singers for sure, told him to call Joe back there, but now then you know what you're singing about. Now then we'll all get to heaven one of these days. When we all get to heaven, number 240, come on. This was a song that we sang and really enjoyed it last night. He touched it. Number 43. Everybody together. All together and sing this. What a great song that Bill Gaither has written here. Ready? Here we go.
Show.
Sure.
bluegrass band comes back around. Only problem with that song, he didn't write enough verses to it. Right? That song should have had about 15 verses to it. Just love to sing. Y'all welcome back our Delray Lee Bluegrass Band.
It's in the church hymnal. It's got about 800 verses, but we'll only do three. It's number 199 if you want to sing along. It's Where the Soul Never Dies.
Preacher's zeal to preach, I suppose, really gives them a lot of energy, a lot of passion, and it kind of revives us, I guess you could say, which would be fitting for this time. I'm also going to talk about salvation tonight because it's important. It's the most important thing, and I don't think anybody in this room would argue that. And for the rest of my life, I will always be able to go back to one moment. Even if I forget everything that I do, I won't forget that one moment. It stuck with me for 11 years. It's going to stick with me until the day that I die.
Amen.
And it's going to stick with me after I die.
Amen.
There's nothing here on this earth besides my salvation that will stick with me after I die. So I challenge any individual that's in here to think about this. Think about this one statement. I've said this a number of times, but I'm going to say it again. Think about this one statement. The moment that you sit in right now may very well be the very most important moment for the rest of your life and for all of eternity. Are you taking that seriously? Do you think about it? Do you ponder upon your salvation? Do you ponder upon the situation that's inside your soul? You know, when I was lost, I felt conviction the same night that I got saved. The very first night, and I thank God for that, because I couldn't imagine having to go days or weeks or months or even years that I hear of people having to fight with that conviction that weighs on them. But I know as a kid, it was very confusing for me. And I heard a lot of people talk about conviction, and I said, what is that? And they said, Dylan, you'll know. You'll know when that feeling hits you, you'll know. And all I can really say to a lost person now is that statement is very true. You just know. Amen. You can feel that separation. You can feel there. It's almost as if there's an emptiness in your body, and you feel broken. Man, I felt so broken as a 10-year-old kid, like I couldn't even function anymore. I mean, I literally felt like there was the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I couldn't get up until God lifted that weight from me. That's what conviction was for me. I don't know if that's what it's like for you, but that's the beautiful thing that I continue to say about salvation, is that it's personal. So it may be the same for you. It may be different. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to the 34th Psalm, and I'll start at the 14th verse, and I'll probably go down to about the 19th or 20th verse. So again, the 34th Psalm, and I'll start at the 14th verse. It says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. It mentions the word cry multiple times in that short little passage right there. And I believe that's what we do in spirit. Sometimes, you know, we see people come to the altar, and we see literal tears stream down their face, but it's not an outward expression. There's nothing outward that you can do to make God save you. It's an inward spiritual cry. It's a broken heart. It's a contrite spirit. That's what God looks for. That's what he wants to see. He doesn't care about this show that you put on the outside. It's what happens on the inside. Amen. And that's why it takes some people so long. For me, you know, I prayed for a couple of hours, two or three hours before I got saved. But all I was trying to do was make outward expressions to God. But when it became real in my soul, and I realized that there was nothing that I really could do but just be humble and believe and just give up, that's when he saved me, just like that. So the situation that you're in right now is that you feel broken and you feel empty. That's the best spot to be in without being saved, in my personal opinion, because you realize your condition. You realize the feeling. You realize what people are talking about when they say conviction. See, I'm not so scared for those people. I'm scared for the people that have felt that conviction and ran from it so many times that they don't even feel it anymore. That's a really scary spot to be in. I couldn't even imagine that. So let me tell you one thing. If you're here tonight and you're lost and you feel the conviction, that's the biggest blessing that you can have right now without being saved. Be thankful for that conviction. If you don't have that conviction, if you've run from it for so many years or so much amount of time that you can't feel it anymore, you need to drop to your hands and knees and ask God to give you that conviction, to give you that fire, to light a fire under you, because it is the most important moment. There's nothing more important. I could preach every single sermon on salvation and still never scrape the surface of how important it is. Salvation is what life is about. The Bible teaches us over and over again, it would literally be better to have never been born than to live and die and never know God. This life is so temporary. This life is so temporary, they say as you get older that time starts to move quicker. That as you get older, your time starts to move a little bit quicker. And I guess in 21 years, I've kind of seen that. But this life is so temporary. And I know for somebody who's 8 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old or even 80 years old, it's hard to see temporary because we make so much out of this life. but it's such a small portion of time. Such a small portion of time. Because eternity, I mean, I can't even express it into words what eternity will be like. I can't even express into words what heaven will be like. You know, me and my roommate Cooper were talking, and we said that we've heard these experiences, like the book Heaven is for Real, and a little boy that goes and he sees heaven, and then he wakes back up, he comes out of his coma or whatever it was, and then he explains heaven to people through this book and through this story. Our argument is that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, not half has been told. So even if I were to see heaven right now, I couldn't explain to you what it is. I couldn't even express it into words because it's so much more than we can even comprehend. So if you're questioning, if you're wondering if seeking God, seeking His face is worth it, trust me that it is. Because He carries you and He has so much love for you that you don't even see yet. You know, I've been saved for 11 years and I still haven't even scratched the surface of what God's love for me is. Man, He loves us so much through the bad times, through the good times, through the ups, through the downs, through everything. Even before you're saved, He loves you. He's just waiting on you. That's all He's doing. He's just sitting there waiting on you. And it says right here, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Don't be ashamed to have a broken heart. You know, Caleb was down here and he was praying, and when he left, I'll show you. This is exactly what he did. He's not here. He did just like this and walked out. And I went up to Caleb and I said, Caleb, don't you ever be ashamed to pray out to God. Don't you ever be ashamed to seek His face. Don't be ashamed just because you didn't get it tonight. Keep trying. Keep praying. Stay on it. Keep thinking about it. Let it consume you. Because when you're saved, it will consume you. Or it should. And see, we get away from that as Christians and we stop letting our salvation consume us. But that's the important thing. That's the important thing right there. Don't be embarrassed to seek God. Don't be scared to seek God just because you don't know Him. Because He's the greatest person that you will ever know. There's not even an argument. There will never be an argument. So if you're wondering what it's like, if you're wondering what it's like to be saved, it's more than I will ever be able to express in words. But there is a grace and there is a freedom in salvation that your soul is longing for. That's what it is to be lost. You realize that you're empty. You realize that you're broken, that you have a contrite heart, that something is just wrong, plain and simple. But when you seek God and He saves you, you'll feel that hole get filled. And you'll feel that burden just lift off of you. I heard about a little boy. Who knows who Warren Sapp is? Does anybody know who? He's a football player. He's a defensive lineman, weighs about 300 some odd pounds. And a little boy expressed one time when he got saved that it felt like Warren Sapp lifted off of him. And I thought that was a pretty good explanation. That's what it feels like. It feels like a weight lifts off of you. When I got saved, I went out into the lobby, and it was at Cumberland University with Do-Re-Mi, and I started doing cartwheels off of the benches, and I started just shouting, and I was laughing, and I was just so happy, and you couldn't wipe this smile off my face. I've never found that happiness in anything else in my life. I've tried. I find so much happiness doing this job right here, but it still isn't what salvation is. It's the most exciting moment of your life, and it is so worth it to seek God until you get it. I see people that seek God and they don't find it, and then they just give up. Don't give up. Keep seeking until you get it. He hasn't changed. The way to salvation through Jesus Christ hasn't changed. It's all about the heart. It's all about the soul. But let me tell you something. A lot of people in today's society, a lot of quote-unquote Christians, don't like to talk about hell. But hell is real. Just as this right here is your reality, heaven has also become somebody's reality. But just as heaven is somebody's reality, hell has also become somebody's reality. And your life could be taken from you just like that. Just like that. And you never know. People gamble with their souls on a daily basis. especially when you know you're lost. Every night that you lay your head down, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just being honest with you. Because somebody one time was honest with me, so I'm just returning the favor. Every time you lay your head down at night to go to sleep as a lost individual, you're gambling your soul. Because you might not wake up. Let me read something to you. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Sometimes it takes, you know, Brother Joey was talking about a friend of his that had just got to the lowest of lows. Sometimes it takes that for people. And maybe that's the feeling that you're at right now. Maybe you feel like you could not be lower. Maybe you feel like you are exposed to everybody around you. Maybe you feel like everybody in this room can see you. And you feel like even if you got on the ground and laid on your face, you still wouldn't be low enough. That's how low you feel. Maybe that's you. I've seen that before. That's the way I felt. But God can take you to the highest of highs. And he wants to. Amen. God didn't create you for the intention of you to live and die and never have a personal relationship with him. And some people believe that. This whole idea of predestination and God chose who would be saved, I don't believe in all that because I don't think that's a very loving God to choose who would be saved. He's just waiting for you. He's waiting for you to call out to him. Why don't you call out? What is it? What is this wall that you've built up to where you can't cry out to God? Is it a pride thing? Set it aside. It's not worth it. Is it that you're scared? Don't be scared because he'll carry you the entire way. What is this wall? You know, as a kid, I would oftentimes sit between my dad and my mom at church, and a lot of times I would lean on my dad or I would lean on my mom and lay on my mom's lap and she would play with my hair, and I just ignored the service. I just ignored it because then I didn't have to take it for, I just, you know, it was kind of face value. I didn't really have to think about it and soak in it. But the first time I really heard the gospel when I was 10 years old, it hit home and it did soak in. So I pray that this message, I pray that any message that was preached from Sunday through tomorrow night and for the rest of your life, I hope every message hits home. And I pray that it brings you low because that's what God asked for. He asked for a humble heart. He asked for a contrite spirit. Believe and repent. That's all he asked for. He doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for a great job. He doesn't ask for a big family. He doesn't ask for tons of tithes. He doesn't ask for any of those things. Doesn't care how you dress. Doesn't care how you style your hair. Doesn't care what you do. Doesn't care what you've done. He cares about your soul. Amen. That's what he cares about. And that's the way Christians should be. We should love people so much that the only thing we truly care about is their soul. God isn't a judgmental God in that sense. Now, one day there will be a judgment. And like you said, there's only two groups, saved and unsaved. So I'll ask you this question, which one is it? Raise your hand if you're saved. Raise your hand if you're lost. You never see a lost hand go up. I do that all the time. I've never once seen a lost hand go up. Don't know, maybe one time somebody will. But the point is that a lot of lost people feel ashamed and they feel embarrassed because the condition that they sit in, they just feel like, well, all these other people have already gone through it and now, you know, they're better than me. They're better than me because they have this. We're no better than you. We're all sinners. We all fall short. So let me tell you, no matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old or anywhere in between, you need salvation more than I could ever express in words. You need salvation more than you will ever understand, even after being saved. I can't wait. I cannot wait for heaven. When I was younger, I literally used to sit. I can remember one time sitting in church when I was like 13 years old. And I was sitting there, and I closed my eyes, and I started thinking about heaven. And I don't get real emotional spiritually a lot of the time, but at that time, I just started crying. Because God made it very real for me in that moment what heaven would be like. And that all the trials, all the bad times, all the things that would come through my life wouldn't amount to anything in comparison to how great heaven was going to be. I hope that one day you're there. I hope that you punch your ticket. I hope that God saves you. There's nothing really that I can do for you but try to guide you, point you in the right direction, and pray for you. I can't save you. I don't have that ability. Nobody in this room has that ability. I can't give you the words. I can't tell you the actions to do. You just have to believe. You have to trust in Him. Lean on Him. You know, for me, I saw a beautiful picture one time of a man, and he was climbing up a ladder, and he was standing on the last step of the ladder, and it showed God, and he was in heaven, and God's hand was here, and the man was reaching out, but he was holding on to the ladder, and he was trying to reach out to grab God, but that man had to let go of the ladder and just jump and trust God to catch him. And in answer to your question, yes, obviously he caught him. Because that's how God is. That's how God works. So more than I can ever express into words, I've said that 3 times now, more than I could ever express into words, God loves you. He loves you so much. And he blessed you with an opportunity to be here tonight, to seek him. So if you're feeling the conviction, if you feel that on your soul, if you feel that in your heart, don't run from it, don't sit on it. Because that's God talking to you. The one that created you, the one that spoke the world into existence, is talking to your soul. And he's waiting for you to answer. So answer him. Answer his call. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be embarrassed by it. Answer his call. Because he's just sitting there waiting. He's knocking. You just have to open the door and let him in. There's not much that I can tell you about how to be saved, because there's really not a whole lot to it. He doesn't ask for much. Never has, never will, and he's not going to right now. All he asks is for you to believe and for you to repent. And when you do that, he saves you. And it's always worth it in the end. It's always worth it. I've never heard of a person saying, you know, I was really, really nervous about going down to the altar or praying in my seat, and when I got down there, I got saved, but in the end, it wasn't worth it. No, in the end, it is always worth it. It is always, always worth it. So we're going to give you an opportunity tonight. If you want to come down here and you want to seek God, let me tell you that he's here, because I can feel him. Even though you can't see him, and even though you don't have that personal relationship with him yet, let me make you a promise. Let me make you a guarantee that he is here and he wants to save you more than you know. I saw a picture. I'll end with this. And I explained this a couple of Sundays ago, I guess. And it was a picture of the earth. And then it zoomed out and it showed a picture of the universe, and then it zoomed out and it showed a picture of the galaxy, and by the end of all doing all this, you really couldn't even see Earth on the picture, and then somewhere in Earth is where we are. The God that created all that, that just spoke it into existence, that very same God is here, and he's waiting to save you. And if that isn't enough for you, then I don't know whatever will be. You won't ever find the peace that you find with God anywhere else. There's a peace there that this world is looking for, and that I hope you're looking for, and I hope you're ready to grab onto. Don't hold on to mom. Don't hold on to dad. Don't hold on to the seat. Hold on to God. When you do that, when you hold on to him and you reach out and you let him catch you, that's when he'll save you. If you're not feeling that conviction, maybe it's not time yet. But if you are, then I know it's time. So we're going to have a song and give you an opportunity. If you want to come down here and pray, we'll pray with you as long as you want to. If you want to stay in your seat and you want to pray, we'll come back there and pray with you. But all we can do is pray for you. We can't do the saving. Brother Key, if we could have a song.
Will, please stand. Number 255. Number 255.